amazing Cultures to Parent support group are sponsoring this series of the Multi-Schools Lowdown. We offer support for families of children and young people with special educational needs in the Colchester area. To learn more and get in touch, please visit the MAYS website, themaysgroup.co.uk.
In this episode, we hear from Vicky. She talks about being a parent, her son Toby, her work with the Colchester Parent Support Group, and the reason for hope.
So, Vicky, could you just start by telling us about your role at the MAYS and your work with Edith Borthwick as well?
Yeah, I first attended the MAYS coffee mornings, as they were in those days, and it took me a little while to realise that actually MAYS and Colchester Parent Support, while they are very combined in lots of respects, they are separate entities. So it's actually Colchester Parent Support that runs the coffee mornings and produces the directory of services. But they link very closely to MAYS. So the first thing I knew about was MAYS, and I'd heard lots of positive things about it from other parents, and went along to a coffee morning and found it really useful to talk to parents of children who had special educational needs and get a bit of peer support and also chat to various people who knew a bit more than I did at that time. And that was fantastic. And later when Toby started school, I attended the MAYS parenting programme. And again, found that really, really helpful. And then later on, I sort of got involved with Colchester Parent Support, attending the coffee mornings, but as a sort of supporter, have a coffee and chat to people. There was a use for me to be there, in that some of the experiences that I'd had by relaying them to other people could be beneficial to them. So we've had our ups and downs and our trials and tribulations and joyful times too. And sometimes being able to talk about that with a parent who understands can be really supportive and really helpful for parents who are new on the journey, getting their head around the fact that their child has some additional needs and that what they're going to experience of parenthood is going to be quite different to what they expected. So I've kind of got more and more involved with Colchester Parent Support, and now I'm responsible for editing and reissuing the Directory of Services, which is SEND services for North East Essex. And the idea is that there's a booklet form and also an online version where it's all about services that we know are good, that parents would recommend to others, and that that parents can access that. And by coming along and chatting to people at the coffee mornings, as they used to be, they're all online now. And sometimes we have visiting professionals, including yourself, and we've got Ben Marlowe, who's from the Synapse Centre, coming to the next one. And we have various visiting people, so parents can come along, have a chat, have a coffee, but also listen to what other services are around and about and think, oh, actually, I could make use of that. And I think it's also really lovely that one of the things that's really important to me is about being able to utilise the experience that you've had in a constructive way, that perhaps some of the really challenging times that you've experienced as a parent or dealing with the local authority or schools or health or just adjusting to how your life is, by talking to somebody else who gets it, there's nothing better than that, that somebody who really truly understands you. I have been representing those services at sort of strategic meetings, and that's where we've come across each other quite a bit, isn't it? So one of the things that we've been working on recently is supporting the local CCG to develop a better way of supporting families and children and young people who have neurological differences and conditions. And that's really exciting. That's really interesting, because it's great to be able to support families one-to-one in a conversation at a coffee morning. But it's also fantastic to be able to take all of those conversations and absorb all that and then feed that into what the local authority, whether that's Essex County Council or Health, what they're doing, and be able to represent the views and needs and opinions and experiences of all those parents that you've spoken to along the way, and ensure that voice is heard and it's part of the mix of how they make their decisions, what services they commission that will benefit not just that individual parent or me, but all of the parents who will follow, the children who haven't yet been identified as having an additional need.
I think that's kind of what I wanted to go on to now. You mentioned, obviously, you are a parent and you mentioned some highs, some lows. Could you just briefly tell us a little bit about your son?
Yeah, Toby, you can tell from my voice I'm smiling when I talk about him. Toby is eight. He's fantastic and I love him to absolute bits. Toby has some challenges. From about 15 months that there were some differences for him and in his development was certainly delayed. I wasn't particularly surprised that he got that we identified he was autistic, given the landscape of my family and my husband's family. There are quite a number of members of my family who have some differences, shall we say. So I'm not at all surprised. And so Toby was diagnosed then. He is currently at a special school called Edith Borthwick School, which is a fantastic, perfect school for him. He loves it there and we love it. And it's taken us a roundabout route to get there. But he has a very significant learning disability. Sorry. He has a real communication delay. So Toby doesn't speak. He makes himself known. He can communicate his needs and wants and desires very eloquently. Sometimes you have to listen with your whole self rather than just your ears. And a lot of it is intuitive. So it's all about having, for us and for the people who support him, to have a really good relationship and a really connected relationship with him so that you can use your intuition with him a great deal, which is fantastic. Daily challenges with regards to the basic things in life, you know, the basic needs, keeping him safe, keeping him on track, following an adult agenda, all of those sort of things. So I find really fascinating about being a parent to a child like Toby is the duality of your emotional existence, in the sense of at one moment and the same moment, you are often filled with absolute sorrow that his life is going to be so very difficult and this isn't what we planned for and hoped and dreamed about. But at the same time, the joy that he brings us, the exhilaration that I feel of being around him when he is just the purest little soul. He's in the moment. We all oftentimes as adults, we talk about, we regret too much about the past and we worry too much about the future and that spoils the present. Toby lives in the present every single minute of the moment of the day. And that, by virtue of being around him, kind of means that you do too. Yeah. You've still got all this other stuff going on and, you know, you've got what I've got to make. What am I going to do for tea? And I mustn't forget to do the bins and all of those things. And also the worry of, well, you know, what's going to happen in his future and all of those sort of things. And the horrible experiences that you've had going before. But he kind of draws you into the present. And that is, well, the present is a gift, isn't it? And that is, that joy can be ours as parents of special educational needs children, that actually they teach us.
There's a couple of things that really stuck with me, especially about living in the present. I think that's great advice, just, you know, just for everybody. And I think with life, with being a parent, like you said, there's lows, there's highs. I think you even used the word sorrow at times. But we had a little conversation before coming on and we mentioned the word hope, or you did, Vicky. And I said to you that I read a brilliant article a few years back now called Deal Is in Hope. And that's always stuck with me. It's in my folder and I always refer back to it. Just from your perspective, Vicky, just sum up, you know, what do you mean by having hope when we're talking about maybe not just Toby, but within education and anything else you want to touch on, really?
Well, I think it's sort of, it's hard to summarise. And I'd be really keen if you posted with this podcast when you release it, the article that you're talking about, because I would like to read it. And I wonder if it'd be interesting for other people too as well, whether they're special education needs parents or not. It sounds like it's really interesting, because I think we all need hope in life, not just if we're having this sort of life. And I guess for me, hope is about not getting crushed by the hard stuff. We start to identify that our child may have differences and difficulties. It's really easy to sort of go down the rabbit hole of worrying about what that's going to mean for them. What that's going to mean for our families, our relationships, their siblings, all, you know, are we going to be, is, how hard is this going to get? And it does get hard. It really does. And as much as I can be incredibly positive when talking about Toby, the sorrow is real. The pain and fear and anxiety. Parenting is the hardest job in the world, whether you have a child with additional challenges or not. So anybody being a parent is going to worry and find things difficult. But when you add into that the kind of complexities of a child who has special needs or is going to need looking after their entire life, or, I mean, in some senses, I feel incredibly lucky that Toby is as positive and happy as he is. I know so many families whose children spend so much of their time anxious and stressed and worried and fearful and angry and overwhelmed. And that is incredibly difficult to be around. And so it's very easy to feel hopeless at times. It's very easy to feel overwhelmed. It's really understandable to feel like I can't be what my child needs me to be, because what my child needs me to be is everything. An OT, a physiotherapist, an expert in so many different things. And no one person can do that. And I think that the one thing that all parents have by virtue of just being parents is a sense of guilt and inadequacy to some degree. And life can be incredibly challenging because there aren't enough services, that schools, while they may be brilliant in so many respects, there's only so many hours in the day. There's limited resources. There's limited opportunities for staff training. Staff don't have enough time to do all of the things that they would like to do, let alone what you as a parent or the child would like them to do. And that there aren't enough practitioners, there aren't enough health resources, that what there is can be very barriered and can take too long to achieve, and all of those things that things that make it harder than it needs to be. There are reasons for hope, and I think that by finding the tribe that you need to support you, by learning as much as you can, that spending time with people who've trod a similar path, even if you can't feel hope, they can hold space for you and tell you it gets better.
You mentioned like the tribe there as well. There's another good book called Tribes if you're interested in reading, Vicky. That's another one you can try.
Add it to the post and share it.
You mentioned, again, I think this is why I really wanted to talk to you, Vicky, because I know a lot of parents do listen to the podcast and I think it's going to be so relatable in everything that you're saying. Just like, you know, when we speak to young people and then other young people can relate to them. It's exactly the same. What I just want to go to now, Vicky, is you mentioned earlier that we've met because we've from meetings, and a lot of the time we've agreed on lots. And actually, from your perspective, Vicky, you spoke about the neurodevelopmental pathway group. What do you want to see in the future? I know, again, like long waiting times are a massive thing for families, but what kind of things would you like to see improve from the groups that you're working with at the moment?
I think the thing that springs to mind is something that's realistic but seems impossible, which is kind of strange. And that is for services to talk to each other and talk to parents and talk to young people, for communication, because everything is chunks of this and chunks of that, and everybody's got their remit. Everybody has their, when I say agenda, I don't mean it in a nasty way. What I mean is that they have their criteria of what they're supposed to do. And I understand why that is, that, you know, that services are given money to do certain things and they have to fulfill that. But it means that everything becomes compartmentalized and barriered. And that just makes the journey of traveling this life more difficult than it needs to be. And I think that's the first thing that I would love to change, is for young people's and parents' views to be not just listened to and heard, but acted upon. And I think that's what we both hope that the work that we're talking about, the neurodevelopmental pathway with the CCG, is aimed at. I know that that's what they want to do. The longer term hope is that services locally will improve for families. And I know that that's part of what this piece of work that we're both involved in is all about, is about making the pathway simpler to travel, so that parents can, and young children and young people, can access the support, whether that's information, signposting, therapies, assessment, whatever it is that they need, when they need it, and not have to wait and not have to jump through hoops and not have a door opened and they say, oh, but actually, no, you don't meet our criteria because of X, Y and Z. That's not anything you can do about. I think that that's what I'd like to happen, is that actually being a parent or being a child or being a young person with special education needs is hard. It's going to be hard. So let's not make it any harder than it needs to be. Let's help them be the best that they can. But whether that's be the best parents, be the best functioning child at school, or happiest because they have social life that works for them, whatever it is that that young person needs, unless it's like a rocket to the moon, should be achievable, because most of what those families need is not crazy stuff. It's just people to understand, people to listen, people to care, and do what needs to be done when it needs to be done.
Yeah, and I think you summed that up really well. And it's almost like we are talking about basics as if it should be a gold standard, but actually that should be the normal standard.
Yeah, kind of absolutely. You're getting at,
Vicky. And I think that sums it up brilliantly. You mentioned a few things in here that I just want to repeat. So obviously you spoke about your connections with the cultural support group and the MAES, and obviously there is a podcast episode out there from Sue, and you spoke about Edith Borthwick and Dan, who's brilliant head there. He's also done a podcast episode for us, so you can go back and look at them. Just to finish, Vicky, you mentioned the directory of services. Mm. If families are listening to this and they wanted to go and look that up, how could they do that? Where would they find it?
Well, at the moment, it is living on the, as a PDF, it's on the MAES website, which I know you've shared a link to that at the end of a little prologue at the end of this podcast. So people can view it there. Normal times, pre-COVID, it would be in a paper form as well, and that you could pick that up, a copy of that up at our coffee mornings. And I hope very much after COVID ceases, or social distancing anyway, ceases to be a huge part of our lives, that we can resume all that. We're hoping to develop it further in the sense of spend more time being able to, because we're volunteers, so none of us are paid for our time. At Cultured Parent Support. So we're limited to how much research we can do into seeking out what services there are, finding, you know, communicating with parents to find out what supports have worked for you, what's helped you, and what would you like to other parents to know about. And to try and get in touch with the parents who are harder to reach. So at the moment, to get hold of the information, you'd need to go on to the MAES website, or you'd need to be able to come to a coffee morning that can't run at the moment. We're putting thought into, and we have sort of some hopes that we'll find ways of being able to connect with other services who are perhaps in touch with people who are more difficult to reach, whether that's because they live in places that are more rural, whether that's because they have confidence issues with using IT or coming to a coffee morning, or whether that's because they have a language barrier or a cultural difference, or whether it's because they don't really think that there are services out there that can support them, and they just are so busy dealing with whatever difficulties and challenges they have that they haven't got the time to look outside and think, what, I need help with this. Who's available to help me? And it's those sort of families that we really are keen to meet. We love that families turn up to our coffee mornings or come online. But those families have some advantages. They're already looking for help. They're already receiving it. It's those families that we really, really, really need to reach. And that's what we're aiming to do in the future.
Yeah. And it is a challenge. I think it's similar with us, with young people who maybe aren't involved in education. We want to include them in their voices being
absolutely.
Heard.
So. That's another one to add to my not exhaustive list of people we need to reach is home people who are being home educated or who are not in education.
Totally agree. But Vicky, you summed it up really well there. And obviously after this, you'll hear the advert at the end, which is, as you mentioned, Sue, and she gives the website for the MAES, so you can go and look the services up there. So thank you so much for your time, Vicky.
Sure.
And I'm sure it's going to be, you know, really helpful and interesting for other parents to listen to.
The MAES and Cultures to Parent Support Group are sponsoring this series of the Multi-Schools Lowdown. We offer support for families of children and young people with special educational needs in the Colchester area. To learn more and get in touch, please visit the MAES website, themaesgroup.co.uk.
Everyone is different and special in their own way. We should be including everyone, so let's start today.